not become too much involved in complaints. With the Real Estate Commission, what happens is a screening process. Mm-hmm. And Mr. McGowan initially will make a judgment as to whether he can clear it up on the phone. Mm-hmm. He does attempt to do that. If it somewhere along the line he becomes convinced that this might potentially be, you know, become a license revocation or something of that nature, he immediately turns it over to the investigators and he has no more to do with it from then on. So it's a screening process that's very effective and does cut down considerably on the number of cases for the investigators.
So we can move on and... I got one more problem. You know, the electrical inspector, he really has to know his business. You know, he can't just cover the whole spectrum like, say, public safety investigators can, you know. So, or all kinds of crimes.
That has been being done by the Department of Labor.
Yeah, I know. But the board itself requested that it be put under Commerce rather than divided, you know. Why did they do that in their testimony?
Well, I think, sir, because they felt that under the system the way it is now, they don't have either inspector, the one in Anchorage or in Fairbanks, full-time for themselves. They, of course, have to do Department of Labor inspections. And I think that what they would actually like is an inspector under either one, but devoted solely to electrical board matters and electrical inspections. That was what I got from my conversations mm-hmm. with the board.
But how can we justify just one guy just for electrical only?
I think to comply with the inspection requirements would probably take a full-time person, but I can see your dilemma. With every board, we have this.
Ms. Chairman, you're going to be talking later on about getting the inspection powers from labor to commerce. How many people are working over in commerce on this now, or in labor on this?
On just electrical?
Mm-hmm.
The old cheap?
Senator, there's two, one in Anchorage.
Well, then it seems to me that if you're talking about number of inspectors, you have to take that into consideration. Mm-hmm. What you're talking about, it seems to me, if you accept D, is to transfer, to request, and I think you'd have to do that in the legislative, in a letter of intent,
mm-hmm.
To increase the inspectors from labor, assuming we have to keep mm-hmm. at least that minimum. Plus, if you think that overall we need to beef up their inspection. But mm-hmm. the ones from labor would merely, in commerce, would merely mm-hmm. you know, be transferred to a different section. In other words, I don't think we want to recommend putting this in commerce and then not giving them, when we had testimony, they're already too short,
sure.
not to bring those positions along. Is that your intent?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I see what you mean.
That's why I chose D after B.
Mm-hmm.
They go hand in hand.
Oh.
In a way.
Yeah.
If one passes, we should pass the other.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Elaine, what authority does the inspector have after he investigates a complaint? How is that complaint disposed of, or how is a penalty imposed?
The commissioner of the Department of Labor can issue cease and desist orders. Beyond that, I'm not really familiar with their procedure, other than I think it's quite similar to ours. Very time consuming. But the Department of Labor, under Title 18, they issue the certificate of fitness for journeyman electricians. And they have all this other authority going on in addition to the problems of the electrical board. So that's where those inspectors are tied up doing minimal, or tied up doing the majority of the work under Title 18 rather than under Title 8 for our board, the board.
I don't think, personally, no. I would take the board's recommendation and put it under Commerce, leave it like it is. What do you think?
Mr. Chairman, it's also the recommendation of the Attorney General.
To do what?
To put it under Department Commerce. Of Commerce.
I know it is.
I have a three-page letter. If you want to read the letter, it starts on page 27 of your section here, in the very last paragraph, so I can read it. It's only four lines long. It says, although the Department of Commerce and Economic Development has discretionary authority while the Department of Labor has mandatory authority, we again recommend that the departments work out an arrangement to handle this matter, the matter we're discussing, or in the alternative, have the legislature resolve the matter. It's a confusion right now.
Okay, but what she's saying, that certain things are done under 18, certain things are done under 8, is it possible that it can all be done under 8?
Anything's yeah. possible.
No, but is it reasonable that it's all done under 8?
From a theoretical standpoint?
Well, no. Looking at the, from yeah, a exactly. natural, practical one.
Well, we... maybe I'm not understanding what you're asking.
Well, is there anything that Title 18, which is Department of Labor, I assume, does that is so unique and so well tied in to what they do in the Department of Labor that it could not be handled, the whole thing, dealing with electrical inspectors and journeymen and all the rest, under Title 8, Occupational Licensing? In other words, is 5 practical to take everything over? From 18 to put it in 8. That's the question.
I don't have that section of 18 with me. You're dealing with Section 18, or Title 18 deals with an area that we don't get involved in at all, other than to require that certificate of fitness as a prerequisite for licensure as an electrical administrator.
Mm-hmm.
The Department of Labor Wage and Hour Division handles the certificate of fitness program. They give a test, basically, or much in the same manner that we do. Dale Cheeks was available this morning. You might want to talk to him. I'm not really sure what Title 18 encompasses for the Department of Labor.
I've talked to Dale before.
Can I ask a general question to Elaine, just in general? Do you see anything positive coming out of all these sunset hearings at all?
Not yet. I cannot say that. Yes, I think the boards have, for the most part, reacted favorably, and I think there's been some positive changes among the boards, but they feel a certain amount of frustration, as do we. We need some help, and I think everybody recognizes that. I don't think there's any big one thing that can be done to solve all the problems, obviously. But by working on it, are we going to solve any of the problems?
Well, by looking,
I think so.
By looking at these recommendations, which I picked out of all the testimony given, I think that would be major changes within the board. If you look at number E, you get rid of the certificate of fitness. That's an archaic thing. And testimony indicated from 3 different sources it's archaic. It's redundant, it's unnecessary. I think if we adopt, by and large, a large percentage of this report here, I think it would change not only the composition, but the performance and the relationship of the board to the people in the industry to make it a more effective
board. Now, is it your intent, after we do this, since we've had testimony, to run it by another public hearing or to shoot it on? What's your plan of action?
Shoot it on after today. I tell you, I have a lot of confidence in this book. You know, we all read this, but this book has been considered in Elaine's. It's a good piece of work, even all the backup for the statutes. In the front is the documentation for the conclusions, and behind the conclusions are the statute. And you've summarized it. You know, some of the things were agreed to, some weren't agreed to in the audit here.
Okay.
And the testimony, you've considered that. Although we reference them all here, are like the certificate of fitness, you know, that you just mentioned. I think it's a good idea. What do you think? Why don't we just run through this? And we're basing it most on the yellow book.
The certificate of fitness. I certainly think it could be done away with. I doubt, though, that the board would agree with that, did they? I mean, that would surprise me.
We had some testimony.
The yellow book, page 39.
I don't know how much.
The yellow book, page 39.
How many of them? The yellow book, 39. Right.
Yes. F39, right?
Yeah. Right here.
Yeah.
The board recommends in the bottom section below, the very third line from the bottom. No person may be employed without a certificate to perform the work. Well, if you read on the next page, I don't want to belabor you all this, they come out to the conclusion, let's get rid of it because it saved a lot of money.
Mr. Trammer did come to that conclusion.
Yes, and this is the board's statutory recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
OL came to the same conclusion, and the audit report came to the same conclusion. So our three major sources came to the conclusion to get rid of the certificate of fitness.
Mm-hmm.
But the certificate of fitness is still required by the Department of Labor. What you're suggesting is that it not be a prerequisite for approval for examination for
the Department of Labor.
If we put it in the statutes, it won't be.
The Department of Labor would have nothing to do with electrical examiners anymore. We would take all that out and put it into OL.
Question, Mr. Chairman. Christian, what happens when we pass whatever we decide to do here?
The next
is the House doing the same thing?
They've done.
What have they done?
I don't know what they've done,
President. It has not been the most cooperative.
Since we have. I don't think they finalized any of this yet.
You were at the House.
Last time I checked with them,
they finalizing things.
They got this far with it.
My next step was going to be what we do agree on, what we don't agree on. Those that we do agree on, take this to Billy Barrier's office, have a bill drafted incorporating all the changes that this committee agrees on.
Well, you're going to have to beat me over there because I'm going to go over to Billy's right after this meeting and put in a repealer of the sunset laws. This stuff is crazy. There is no way that we should be wasting this kind of time as a legislature with all of the people and all of the paperwork and all the reports.
You should see what I'm doing on free conference.
I'm just trying to. I voted for it, and I co-sponsored it, and I'm putting in a repealer this afternoon. Now that I've got that out of the way, back to work.
Well, that's a pretty drastic move, that too.
Well, I'm going to this is stupid.
Senator Sturgeon was speaking. The pertinent part of Title 18 starts on page 41. I had forgotten that I included that also. It's in here.
I'm glad I'm not the only one with the short fuse today.
All right. Some have recommended getting away with electrical and welding. You know.
I thought
yes,
did.
I know.
Now, not that it means anything, you know, but Tian and Coletta, and I spoke to the leadership, they were the opinion that probably wouldn't do away with any. We would just probably improve them.
All right. Christian, I have a very serious question to ask.
Yes, Senator.
Right now. Let's just jump back a second. Let's go to C for a minute. If you put in statutory authority for a reciprocity, those regulations would have to be developed by the board how to carry that out. Is that right?
Correct.
I would support reciprocity. Okay? Everybody thinks that's a good idea, don't they?
I don't.
No.
I don't know that I do. Maybe with some.
Who does?
Some the board is in
well,
favor
somebody
of
give an analysis. No. Don't make us look at
well,
all
the
somebody,
board. The board is in favor of reciprocity.
Okay.
The audit report suggests reciprocity in the Division of Occupational Licensing.
Yeah.
Does not.
Some do, some
why not?
Some
Well, it's a matter of semantics, I think. We are in favor of endorsement rather than reciprocity. We don't believe that licensure should be contingent on a formal agreement between states.
What
we believe that it should be based on the person's qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
But may I read from your own report with respect to reciprocity? The existence of interim measures, which is another way of saying reciprocity, to allow apparent qualified people to work might function to reduce the amount of unlicensed electrical work allegedly being done. In reference to reciprocity, that means that you are suggesting if you do that, it's less investigation and it's better.
I beg your pardon, but we would suggest endorsement in all cases. That's been our position from.
Okay.
What's wrong with endorsement?
I see nothing wrong with it.
That's like a temporary license, right?
See, we've got all the recommendations.
What is endorsement?
Endorsement is licensure of an individual who is licensed in another jurisdiction based solely upon their qualifications.
In other words, it wouldn't be reciprocity, which might be a grandfather with no standards.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
I see what you're saying.
So endorsement's okay with you.
Endorsement.
Now, what do you base your endorsement on?
In most instances, sir, they say that if a person is licensed in another jurisdiction with basically similar qualifications, then we will give them a license without examination, without anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's on their qualifications.
For the record, we now have all members of the Senate Commerce Committee present.
Senator Ferguson.
Senator Stimson. As you were.
Senator Ferguson.
Except Senator Ferguson. Senator Stimson just arrived. Our, now, we don't have to take all the recommendations from the testimony, from the audit, and from the yellow book. Hey, you just mentioned three. What was the third one? Elaine didn't recommend reciprocity, did she?
Endorsement.
I know she, personally she did, but you just mentioned three different...
It says endorsement or reciprocity. Yeah. I took that as a substantiation for reciprocity. It is somatic.
Well,
thank you. I'm sorry if that wasn't intended. I thought that they endorsing reciprocity.
Well, in other words, Elaine put in the book here, one or the other, huh?
Yes.
Which you personally prefer endorsement.
And I personally...
All right, it's up to us to make the decision. I like endorsement.
He likes endorsement.
I like endorsement, too.
Okay, everybody agree on endorsement?
Endorsement or...
Endorsement. Let's go to the next one.
Okay, so far we've got A and C. We're doing fine.
Okay, I thought we'd go faster than this, but I think you need to get a little background first, and then you can move out a little faster, and I think we got the background.
Mr. Chairman, if somebody could tell, I think we ought to handle... perhaps D and E in one discussion. I would like someone to tell me. I believe it should be in one department. I think that's kind of chicken business to have two going around. We either add more to one or whatever. But when we talk about certificate of fitness, whether it's done by labor or whether it's done by oil, what are we talking about? Could somebody explain? I don't care who explains it, just so somebody does.
When an electrician, as I understand it, reaches the point of journeyman level, which I believe is 4 years, he may then apply for and take a certificate of fitness exam. If he passes that, he gets a certificate of fitness, and he can function at that level for, I believe it's an additional 4 years, at which time he may then apply to take the license exam for electrical administrators. But the certificate of fitness is a prerequisite. They have to have had that. And it's 2 years or four. I think what's been suggested and what we would concur with is that that certificate of fitness not be a requirement for us.
To whom should it be a requirement?
Well, it's under the Department of Labor now.
Well,
so
no, if we bring it in to labor, the point of it is it a necessary step if we are going to license that profession to have a two-tier approval, one for the certificate of fitness at journeyman and the other for the electrical administrator. The need, now let's not worry about who does it or anything, but is that a needed, a two-tier licensing?
The licensed electrical administrator is responsible for all work done under him, which is done by the person holding the certificate of fitness card.
Now, could it? Are we saying that since this person has the responsibility, the one that has to take 8 years, that would be up to him to make the determination of people working that they qualify and the work that they do qualifies?
That's my understanding.
And I guess I think in a market situation, it ought to be okay.
Yeah.
I would say that we're protect. Our main purpose of this, it seems to me, is to protect the public health, safety, and welfare. And if we say you, electrical administrator, whom we are licensing, then you have to be responsible for those other people. If the union has a method of journeyman and all the rest of it, that's up to that union, isn't it? To whatever their rules are. I don't see that that should be the state's business. So I would say OL and get rid of it. I think that's reasonable, in my opinion.
Okay. Elaine, go ahead.
42 is where you would see, 41 and 42 is where you would see all of the duties then that would go to the division of OL from the Department of Labor. Those responsibilities. That deals with that...
F-42?
Page 40, F-42.
Where
that's
does it
all
start?
That's the Title 18. Which would be...
But what paragraph? Do you have the duties listed in?
Okay, let me see. AS-44.
Meantime, while you're figuring that out, Elaine...
Yes, sir.
A couple of years ago, we put through the committee, we changed the title, our electrical administrators. Now, he's a full-fledged electrician, but he doesn't have to be a contractor. He can be working under a contractor, can he not?
That's correct.
That's an electrical contractor.
Yes, sir.
can be independently so, or he can work for another general contractor.
That's correct.
No,
but the general contractor for whom he is working is not allowed to use that license for any other aspect of the project.
That's right. You just refresh my memory.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. If you're going to do away with the certificate of fitness, and you're going to do away with and just put it one tier for an administrator, what would be the reason to have endorsement? Why would you have reciprocity other than for an administrator?
Or someone coming out of state.
Well, we won't have any licensing then.
Yes,
we'll have licensing.
Oh, sure.
OL would do licensing.
Yeah, you still have licensing.
Licensing and examination.
It just won't be automatic just because, you know.
I missed your point, Frank.
He was authorized in one state, doesn't mean he automatically comes to the state he is. You have to be endorsed based on his qualification.
Yeah, I like that.
They might suspect something one way or the other. Need retested.
Okay.
I have one problem here that I don't quite understand. If D and E are carried out, we bring everything over to Commerce, and we settle the matter of people following that do this inspection, assuming the level is correct, are we putting over in OL something that, as far as the field inspection, more normally follows with other responsibilities of DL? That's something I'm not sure about. Are there a whole bunch of, you know, and I'm assuming that when you made these, you've considered these things. I don't want to go back and reinvent wheels. And do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I am taking my information.
I had to let them all alone.
I'm taking my information primarily from the Attorney General's statement on this problem. And his analysis indicates that if the legislature gives one or the other the authority, there is no problem. The problem arises that both of them have the authority. Almost simultaneously, almost equally, outside of the cease and desist order. Now, to eliminate the responsibility of the Division of Labor, Department of Labor, would not take any increases of responsibility for OL. They already have, and I should say OL, Department of Commerce, already has that responsibility. Just is not using it because the Division of Labor is using it.
I'm trying to see if there's any problem out in the field from this kind of a thing. And what are you saying?
The Department of Labor has inspectors that do already electrical inspection, welding inspection, boiler inspection. Field inspections are not probably too compatible with the kind of investigations that we do.
All right, Christian, that's exactly what she said is what I'm getting to. So we're creating a different kind of responsibility then for DOL if we go this way. Is there a...
In terms of field.
Yeah, in terms of the actual inspection and the field work, the ongoing thing, we sure don't want to reduce it. Now, could we, is there a measure here in what you've done? If we take out the certificate of fitness thing, let's agree that that's a matter of licensing and we straighten that out and leave the actual field inspection. You see, it ties in, and there's a economy of scale if you're going to go do boilers and welding and the rest of this stuff. Now, you have to look, it seems to me, either at taking it all and changing, really, the complexion. See, they're all tied in, OL's tied in, or Department of Labor is tied in with OSHA inspections, all the rest of it. So what you're really doing is perhaps increasing your... you're still going to do all those things over there, but you're taking a little part of it away over here.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in the case of the boards that deal directly with a great deal more field work and not a complaint, more or less, type approach, you see, it's an ongoing inspection responsibility, that you want to take the licensing part over here and leave the actual field inspection over there. I think we've got a different kind of a polecat here. Electrical, welding, boilers, and whatever. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Are you presuming also that the certificate of fitness would be eliminated?
I think that
the certificate of fitness, again, if we have that qualified person who's responsible on the job, I don't see why we need the certificate of fitness unless there's a reason.
From a Department of Commerce standpoint, the certificate of fitness is required by board regulation, not by statute. Where the statutory requirement comes in is under Title 18.
Okay, so we would need to correct Title 18 then to get rid of the certificate of fitness if we felt that was appropriate, right?
Yes.
Right.
Can you do that?
Yes, I mean.
Put it in the bill. It all boils down to the electrical administrator is responsible for it all. And he has to check it all.
But we're not taking that away.
I know.
You're leaving the inspection
with
the Department of Labor.
Well, I guess it seems to me that's appropriate.
See, my rationale was, excuse me, sir, was that if we took the entire ball and put it into OL, mm-hmm. that would release that inspection workload from the Department of Labor. Therefore, it's just a transfer of funds to OL for another inspector.
That's very tidy, but mm-hmm. reality is that these inspectors have all kinds of other things in Department of Law that you are not going to repeal or change,
right.
And they're going to be out there. And so it's logical not to take away a little segment of it unless you're going to take it off, seems to me.
Okay.
Yes.
It seems to me that way, too. I didn't look at it.
It might be pertinent to note that it's two little segments. You're going to have this exact situation with the Board of Welding.
Yeah. In fact, there may be others. Electrical, Board of Welders, that specializations that...
Just in those two cases, sir.
That's the only two.
The Department of Labor is doing the field work.
Yeah, probably so.
But do they also have a certificate of fitness thing?
Not the welders, no. Mm-hmm. They have a unique situation.
Are they? Yeah. Do they have an examination process?
Yes, ma'am.
That's handled through OL?
Yes, they do.
Uh-huh.
Now, if there was one we could do away with, in my thinking, all in, not to influence the rest of you, I think that'd probably be one. And the testimony indicates the same.
Yes, sir.
I guess I feel that unless there's been some further discussion, that I think DL ought to do the field inspection there, because I think they're tied into other things. But
yeah.
Maybe you come back.
I think
with
they are too, and I'm not sure all of
them. So then, should we eliminate that inspection portion in Commerce and solely give it to DL? Because right now it's a dual.
Otherwise, you got one inspector over there that's just inspecting for electrical.
Right.
And I think he probably has other duties over
there. Let's talk a minute about what does the inspector for electrical do in OL? What's he do now?
We don't have one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're not doing it.
We refer everything to the department.
See, they're not doing it, so we're not duplicating there. Mm-hmm. But the certificate of fitness is the one that I think can be cleaned up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I see. So D would remain as it is, so to speak. We leave it as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we negate that. We negate D, and E, we accept that recommendation. Mm-hmm.
And of course, you're dropping a bomb on F. I guess you know that, don't you? Or are you?
That's the minimum standard for the state of Alaska.
Okay. What have we got now?
The reason this was presented by the board was that every two or three years it takes legislative action to update the statutes, merely changing a date.
Oh, I see.
This way, if we say the minimum standards, then every time that national code is updated, automatically our statutes would comply to that code without legislative action.
And as an example, our year before last, Mr. Cohn, who was here the other day, he requested from Fairbanks, and I forgot who, from Anchorage, so that the municipal code and the state code would be the same, except our municipal codes in Fairbanks and Anchorage are a little bit higher because of the coldness and the extreme temperatures, so on. But we must have as a minimum, rather than have two separate codes, they just add a little bit in addition to the national code because of our climate.
Correct, sir.
And it causes all kinds of problems. I forgot all the reasons they gave. In it, we should have some uniformity. It makes sense. So, I don't think that's it.
The board was in favor of this, testimony from Mr. Reed.
I'd say okay.
In favor of this, and also the administration view, Mr. McConkey, who's on the deregulation board, voiced administrative view towards this idea, so.
So all right with everybody else to go to G?
I don't like F.
You don't like G? Or what?
I don't know, I haven't got to G.
You still have
move
F?
To G.
Okay.
On F, how it works with the municipality of Anchorage, and thank gosh you've got boards so the assemblies and planning commissions don't have to get into that, but they spend literally weeks going over, taking these great big huge books, and that's what they are, mm-hmm. and then they adopt it, and it usually, like you say, it increases the condition, and they had somewhat different standards, and we used to have this between the borough and the city, so we have different changes, but it's basically the minimums one come out, and a lot of times they're what they do is to increase the state of the art. There are certain materials that are now acceptable, and there's a real big input in that whole thing. I don't frankly see a problem in that.
Does he send that okay?
Well, they have to go through the process of adopting those revisions. I don't know if our basic statute allows for the minimum. I think it does have to come in, and it's a pro forma because you've got these boards that work on the detail. What the last thing that you'd ever want to do is to have to get involved in working on it. Because they're technical.
Strandberg's recommendation.
I don't see
it. Last time I remember, since we're going in a little more detail here, the only difference was they now have plastic tubes where they used to have metal and a few little innovations and improvements, cheaper materials, but just as good, easy to have. And so very few changes from so many years back even. Everybody still ready to go to G?
Well, we have settled with Tim over there, but I...
Hey, Tim, we got your bill coming up at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, what time is
what
the
bill?
Meeting?
We got a state affairs meeting.
Okay, what's on?
Election.
Oh, today's election?
Hey, today's the day we
came. Final day.
Is today the big day?
Yeah, we had about 4 or 5 meetings on.
How are you doing? You
gone.
Yeah.
Is it ain't good?
Perfect. G.
I got some problems with it.
After they were
G, aha.
May I make a comment on G?
Too liberal.
That's ha. That means go, doesn't it?
With you.
G is merely a result of all the testimony that we received indicating that the board actually raises this in their green jacketed cover here to the governor.
Okay, where is their authority now? What's the problem?
Well, they're not doing it, is what it amounts to.
They're not doing what?
Making a report so that, as to what they're doing.
But they did make one this year.
This is the first year.
Yeah. Well, they've become aware of that.
Right, so I threw that in because a lot of people were concerned about the input from the board into things, so I...
What's
all should make a report.
Okay.
Tim, I'll be able to soon get there. You're not going to make a statement before you leave, so Alice can vote for you.
H is what appeared to me to be more house clean than anything, in that currently the people who are involved in the telecommunications industry, who are doing highly sophisticated low voltage electronical work, also need to have this type of electrical license. It doesn't seem necessary from a number of people's viewpoints that these people need to be licensed, because they're not dealing with anything that has to do with the normal electrical wiring that we're talking about.
Is a consumer getting cheated?
Take, for example, a person who works on here in a terminal, in our little computer terminal. That person needs a license, an electrical license, to work on that little computer terminal in terms of solid-state circuitry.
All right, let's not talk about the ridiculous. Let's talk about the simple. Are there cases where it's to the advantage? Are we making a great big door for people? Are there negatives to our taking away this licensing of people in? Communication is a very broad field.
To protect the consumer. Somebody works on my TV, he's an expert, he's just going to spend 3 days on it and charge me for so much an hour.
Yes, sir. But the fact that he passed his electrical exam doesn't indicate any knowledge of a TV.
Well, it's not that adequate? that exam?
Not the way I understand it, talking to people on the board who, electrical is electrical installation.
Yeah.
And we're dealing with a totally different type of electronics.
All right, the point of it is now, what does the law say now? Does it refer to, that's a very strange thing to talk to the communications industry. We ought to be talking, it seems to me, about the work that is performed by this person. How do we change this? What does it currently say in statutes? Does it say person in communications has to be licensed? In other words, we ought to be talking about
yes.
the work that's done.
Elaine, while Chris is looking that up, what do you think? Right now, the electrical general contractors have sound people in there, electronics technician types in there, and so on, as well as electricians, as we know.
Among the exclusions to 0840 is installation, operation, maintenance, or repair of telephone, telegraph, signal, or communication systems when the work is performed by employees of the utility. The board has not become actively involved in regulating telecommunications at this point, but they're making noises like they would.
The board is?
Yes. I really don't think that they should be involved in that.
Do we know enough about the telecommunications industry so that if we have just a caveat that they are not regulated, is there any problem with the public safety? If they fit in with all these others, then you know, let's exclude them. Has somebody looked at the industry?
Not in great detail, to my knowledge. I mean, I can't speak for anyone else. I did not in great detail.
Well, are there
I'm
some phone
sure
calls
that
can be made quickly to identify that? If normally they don't, if we have people in there that do the kind of jobs that would cause for the expertise, then I have a little trouble making a blanket approach.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
It seems to me like it might be more appropriate to be making a recommendation to the board to review that question and come back with recommendations about it, because you talk about communications industry,
it's all
encompassing too broad.
Well, see, yes, Terry, Alex, I don't know, I've got one more question, but for Elaine, as to the how they're tested. But you know the Electrical General Contractors Association with Ed and all that bunch. They've got communications types in there, and electricians, electrical contractors who know them, and so on. They include them all in the association. But what about the testing, the examination? Can I go out here and get in the TV repair business right now, or the computer business, without a license?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Well, I don't
just
think I should.
I think you should.
I don't think the consumer's... Well, I wouldn't know if he's doing a good job or bad, frankly, but I'd prefer that he have some examination to show that he's got some confidence to protect the consumer.
Well, that gets into the consumer issue, not public health and safety necessarily. There you're talking about, well, of course, that falls down.
Yeah.
I was going to say talking about your barber. Do you get a good
yeah.
haircut? I'm not interested in whether I get a good haircut, but I am interested
sanitation.
In whether they use... proper sanitation and so on, you know, they're dealing. And it's kind of here.
You're so used to getting scalped.
It's all thing that fall down. This hasn't been my day. But I kind of like Terry's thing that I don't want to go exempting this huge, big thing.
Well, I think Elaine has a comment on
that. Yeah. Elaine?
Yeah. Oh, well, I was just going to comment that I really don't think the board, as it's presently constituted, has the expertise in the areas that you're discussing.
And so they couldn't
if
you were to, right, no,
all electricians
the
right
test.
Now, they were, unless it changed salary, isn't it?
Yeah. See, it's not covered in the exams. The board at one time considered regulating that field, and then they kind of backed out of it. And I think that might be partially the reason. Now, if it was your desire to have them regulate those fields, perhaps an alternative would be to provide a person from that field on the board.
Maybe we're expanding this thing, but you know, I had a TV that caught on fire up here in the Baranoff, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And they had one in Anchorage that caught on fire and burned a house down. Mm-hmm. So it's safety as well as electrical installation in the walls and whatnot, you know. maybe not quite as serious as, you know, for your electrical outlets and lights and so on. But it has happened. We had one here in a hotel and one in Anchorage. A house burned down.
Mr. Chairman, I think that gets back to manufacturers opposed to what would be necessarily the...
Okay.
Should we perhaps have the board look at this and perhaps in a year or two from now come back with a nice hefty report?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm not clear, Elaine, on why the board couldn't examine that as a question that we raise and come back with recommendations. You say there's nobody on there?
They certainly could examine it.
With the expertise? Well, that was my intent.
Yes, they could very well do that, and I think they'd be glad to do it.
I don't think it's appropriate for us to be telling them who couldn't be included.
We put it in the statute, it's pretty mandatory.
I really appreciate that, because I think we ought to look at it. That right now, there's going to be a lot of work in the whole telecommunications here and see what the state's involved in. I think that's appropriate.
And, yeah, we're just really beginning in that whole area, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, how should we approach that? A letter to the board?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, what's going to happen with these?
I have it written out
there. Section.
You have it.
On page 17 of the electrical of this book, section F, the general provisions, and going into 18, it's my understanding that these people are already exempted from licensing.
Where are you looking?
Yes, page 18.
But by regulation, they're not. Is the way I understand it. Is that correct?
This is the regulation.
It isn't.
No, even regulation there. There's no regulation anymore, is it?
There is an exclusion for telephone, telegraph, signal, and communication systems as long as the work is done by employees of the utility.
Yeah.
That therein lies the rub, employees of the utility.
But I can go out there, not a member of the utility, and...
Right.
Repair, if I'm working for a private telephone company, not a utility, municipality utility.
Or for yourself or whatever.
Myself or something, yeah. Okay. Want to go to I?
What's the disposition on H?
Oh, we're going to write a letter to the board.
Yes, I, as a recommendation that was made basically by the board, if you look at page 34 of the yellow book, I aborted their whole recommendation, though. Their recommendation is quite lengthy. I adopted part B and C, but part A, if you read it, they want to make sure that a person continually is working in the field. And if they are not continually working in the field, that means they were going to be re-examined. And I figure, I was looking at it, I thought, well, after 2 years, if you haven't worked, then be re-examined. But don't re-examine someone if they haven't worked for 6 months. That's a really an undue hardship on a person who has been working in the field and maybe takes a break. Because the way it's worded, they could say, well, if you haven't worked for 30 days, you might be out of a license.
We discussed that. It seemed logical to me, but what do you think, Terry?
Mr. Chairman, are there provisions, Chris, for maintaining an inactive license for a period of time?
The way that the statute would be written, according to the board, no. No, there's not.
I see.
Now, I thought it's fair to give someone 2 years' time. They suggested 2 years themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if you read Section A, they kind of abridge that and leaves it open.
You don't lose your expertise at court.
No.
How many boards have that, I wonder? There's your desire is to keep all people really kind of licensed.
You realize they already have it in 3 years.
And to allow that,
same thing.
Kind of encourage.
I don't know. I think there's any standard that maybe Lane can tell us.
Subsection,
I think especially with the state of the economy as it is now. An electrical worker might have to go out and work in another field for a period of time before he could get work as an electrical worker.
For 3 years, the board has to, but of course,
now would be required
for
2 years. Now would be required for 2 years.
I shouldn't think so.
I would think that once you get your license, basically it's the same thing with most of your professional licensing, that you renew it every year, automatically send your fee in.
Why is you're working at it?
Why should you take a test, even if you're not working at it?
Yeah, a lot of them, if they're not working at it, as long as they keep Renew it every year.
Yeah, but that's not what he's saying here.
No.
He says in regard to fees and licensing that you can let it lapse, and I think that's not such a very good thing. I think it's better to keep licensed.
Even though
you're not active.
Excuse me, yeah, Alice, but your comment is correct. That's my quick evening, 2 o'clock in the morning wording.
It's
I don't
not
mean
worded
lapse.
Properly.
Semantics.
Correct. It's semantics.
Well,
I mean, if a person is holding an existing license
but doesn't use it. Okay.
They should be at least given 2 years.
And I read right over the lapse because
I
knew what you meant.
I didn't know what you meant.
Okay.
All right. Then I agree.
Lapse is the wrong word.
Yeah.
You have it in there all the while? Was that a, wasn't a
time? I knew what you meant.
I don't know. I had the word lapse in there.
That's why I asked you about the inactive, right?
Yeah.
Why am I so dumb?
Well, no, it's just because we were too familiar with it, and you read it literally.
I read it like what it said.
That's right.
I know.
That is my trouble in this whole bloody sentence.
That's not the trouble. That's why you're superior to most of us. I hate to admit that.
Well, I'm glad you did. Senator Ray, when he gets up to talk about pantyhose and resolution.
So you really do mean that.
Is incredible. It's overwhelming.
He enjoys being a legislator.
Well, he enjoys.
That'll be okay.
Fully retired, goes home and studies and dreams up what he's going to say next day. I don't think he plays pool. Doesn't drink beer. Doesn't go out with girls. He doesn't play tennis. I understand the fishes a little bit during the summer when he's not in Spain.
All right.
Okay.
How about Jay? Because I'm late for meetings.
Yeah, me too. Jay. Okay, license should be notified of renewal dates at least 30 days before the expiration date of their licenses. Do you have any comment before we make a decision?
Yes, sir, I sure do. We are required by 0801 to notify licensees that it's time to renew their license. The department would like to have that section repealed. We feel that with 20,000 licensees, this is an incredible workload, and it is on us.
Mm-hmm.
We also feel that professional people who have a license should take some responsibility for looking at it, and the date is on it, the expiration date is on it. We would like to institute a system whereby when the initial license is issued, we say congratulations, the expiration date is on your license, renewal is your responsibility, period. It ties up a considerable number of people. The postage is very, very expensive. It's just a real heavy workload.
Okay, Terry?
Mr. Chairman, Elaine, the question then of maintaining a current license or certificate, is that a responsibility of the employer at all?
Not generally. I believe in some few instances, such as architects, the employer will accept that responsibility, but that is an agreement worked out between them. And
would it be realistic to place that responsibility upon the employers of electricians?
Well, in this case, they are the employer.
They work for themselves?
Yes.
Yeah. So there wouldn't be a situation where an electrician would be going to work for somebody and they could request a current license or require one before hiring them.
That could happen. Again, that would be between those parties.
But more commonly, an electrical worker is just working for himself.
Yes, that's true.
I'm going to tell you something, friends.
Yes, I do.
If you go along with this proposal, what you're going to do is, at some point, I think, human nature being what it is and how I operate and so on. I'm a community wide board member, and if they don't send me a renewal, I don't do it. I've got too many things in my world. Now, there are going to be a whole lot of people who, sure, it's their responsibility, but again, there's that implicit kind of a contract, it seems to me, or unwritten contract that you make when you license that certain degrees of standardization and certain degrees of professionalism will be there. And that's represented by that piece of paper. I think it's going to throw on to the board or somebody to do some follow-up, because people aren't going to do it. And I just have a problem. Again, I realize the cost, and yeah, you ought to be grown up and you ought to do it. But the fact is, I think, that it is not going to get done. So then what happens?
Everybody's
somebody's in violation, but you haven't got anybody. If we have to get in to go dinging at people at some point to read their thing up in the wall, fact is, fees are going to fall off. The board's going to have a problem. That's what's going to happen.
I can see both sides of it. I really can.
Yeah.
I have a license. I'd like to get a renewal notice.
I need all the notice I can get. I have so many things going.
Yeah, sure. I do too.
Mr. Chair, Elaine, are your licenses renewed annually or on the anniversary of your application?
There are different requirements among different statutes. Some of them expire in the middle of the year. Some of them expire at the end of the year. Generally, all of them are on a two-year basis. There are only two or three exceptions
to that. But they're on a calendar 2 years rather than if I apply in November, my license expires the following November. It's January to following January is what I'm saying.
For the most part, there is one exception and there may be others, well, but for the most part, yes.
I am in favor of the fact of what you're saying, of doing away with the renewal notices for the 30 days in it. Previous. However, if you're doing one mass mailing to all of your people, I don't see where that should be a major problem. But I will also add, and I think this is important, is that as everyone in the room knows, public safety does not send renewals for your driver's license. And probably every one of us has driven around here a number of times for a number of months with an expired driver's license. Because they do not require you to do your driver's license. What's the penalty that you are faced with if you don't have a driver's license? Well, obviously, you get a ticket if you got caught or something like this. I don't know what I don't know how we could enforce the regulation, doing away with the licensing here where
hey,
we
Olive.
People.
Why is
the
that?
Notice in the paper.
Why is it they send you?
I mean, Mr. Chairman.
we're informal today. This is a workshop. All right. Why is it that they notify me to renew my registration plates on my automobile, but not my driving license?
Driver's license are not notified. You're not notified for driver's license. Public safety has done away with that a number of years ago. It is your responsibility as an individual to get that driver's license renewed.
What's the difference in the two?
And if you don't. And we're dealing with a lot more people. I mean, it doesn't take as much talent to drive a car as it does to be an electrical examiner or an electrical engineer.
My insurance company notifies me when it's time to renew my automobile.
Okay, I'll tell you what I would do. I would recommend Title 8 has to be revised. And I am not going to volunteer, nor are you, Mr. Chairman, probably, for that major thing. But again, I'm not ready to institute that policy unless it's done for all, and I think it ought to be a. Isn't that a major enough change, or is it that it ought to be in the Title 8 revision? I don't know. We're doing it for everybody now.
You know, most everything we're doing here, I believe we've covered a big part of it, except adding another member and whatnot can be done by regulation. But
this one.
Lawyers prefer most things being in the statute. You know, they can keep up with it better. And I like it so in the statute, too. Who checks the regulations most of the time? Hard to even keep them updated, you know. I bet yours in your office aren't updated.
I don't have any licenses.
I mean, your administrative code regulations.
Yeah,
they're always way behind.
Because that's what my secretary is doing today.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Changing them every day.
Mm-hmm.
They keep my statutes up to date annually. But administrative code, they aren't even up to date, Alice.
To me, it's just.
Well, I agree with you. I think that human nature says that people are going to stop maintaining their licenses if they're not reminded.
But on the other hand, we do have to be big about our driver's license, and people get caught and so on.
And my thinking yesterday evening was that we are dealing here with people in terms of licensing of professions. A licensed person in a profession, I would think, has the initiative personally to make sure that their professional license does not lapse.
Well,
it's
no.
It's not an obscure license. That it's a professional license. Well, that was my thinking last
night. They're busy people, professional.
In so much as that, if you let that license lapse,
you lose your bread and butter.
You're going, even if you're not working in the business, you let that license lapse, you're going to be faced with the possibility of taking that test over again. And how many of these people want to take that hard exam all over again?
I think the government has a responsibility, personally, to remind you of your responsibility not to violate the law. Go ahead, Terry.
Well, I was just thinking of my own self. I must lack a lot of initiative.
I think
as a teacher, I have to maintain a certificate, and that's renewed every 5 years. And if it wasn't for the fact that my employer reminds me, I can never keep track of those dates when I have to do that. And there's certain things I need to do to upgrade that. But fortunately, they always say, hey, if you plan on working next year, you better meet these requirements before next fall. And
frankly, I don't feel I've had enough testimony on that issue. Really, we didn't get any on that one at all. And it's great for the convenience of the government. But again, by the fact that the government makes requirements, isn't the government saying we're going to do certain minimum things? Like,
my personal opinion is I'll pay the extra 5 cents to pay the employee and pay for the postage.
Create jobs that way.
Yeah, I know. But it sure is a bigger help to a private citizen out there that's trying to make it.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman, may I make one comment in closing? Not that we're...
But, wait a minute. I don't think we've resolved this. I haven't got a smile from all this yet on Jim.
Which one?
Jay.
Should we notify for renewal or not? How many hands do we have? Yay or nay? How many yays do we have?
Should be notified.
Yeah, should be notified.
We quit talking to me if I vote yes.
No, I'm with you.
She said yes.
Well, you can vote for Tim.
Can I vote for Tim?
No.
I vote no.
Okay, now,
Is it really that big a thing with anybody? Feel strongly about it?
I'd like to see a case made to do away with that. And I haven't heard it today, for sure.
Maybe a cost analysis.
You don't have it computerized in any way, do you?
Look at other states.
If we had a computer, we could probably do that.
Yeah, but
if we had one.
I'm going to tell you something, Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
the state has no policy on computerization of their programs, and we are absolutely the most inefficient government, probably, that exists because of it. We're piecemealing on, and then let's get a computer. You know, let's insist that we get a data processing system installed in the government rather than doing it this way. We could do.
Have you taken any steps in that direction?
Well, it's not their problem.
We don't have the money.
Has anybody requested it?
Yes, sir, we have.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you.
You know, you have a lot of licenses.
I know we do.
Mr. Chairman, I really do have to go. One other thing about this board composed. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Number B?
B, yeah.
On the number of inspectors, I strongly, we're going to be in an embarrassing situation if we go to finance with this, or if we make a recommendation to finance or to whoever, and asking for more people, and the department won't back us up. I'm having a little problem in the fact that every testimony we've had indicated we are failing, but now we're doing better things, maybe, so we're not going to fail. I don't want to ask for more people if they can't be utilized and the department won't support it.
Well, you know, in past years, see, we've had these things before.
Right.
And many of our bills we've had before the committee, it's come up many times, not just during sunset. You know, we need more inspectors. We even put in 6 and passed the bill.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Passed it to the Senate. And isn't that right, Elaine?
Yes, sir.
And then, we put it in the budget, and the governor vetoed it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not a new thing.
Mr. Chairman, the way I feel on that is the department, if they're not asking for more bodies, has a responsibility. Sunset is not going away, even though Senator Kelly wished to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have that issue before us, and we'll give them a year to prove that they can really work with that budget. That, to me, would be responsible action.
Well, if we don't have the administration behind us,
it's
pretty hard to get through.
can I quickly run through to see what we agreed, disagreed?
No, because I think you know. I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Add no more is the
other. No, but on the other. I think you got where we
The only one I forgot was F, the national code. The minimum standard using the national code.
Okay.
Yes.
That was a yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you,
okay. Thank you, Alice. Thank you, Terry.
I was yes, too.
All right.
What was the final one?
Two-year fee thing.
On J?
License.
Notify.
Yes.
Do it.
Yes,
but,
finally,
Senator Stoglewski might get up on the phone.
I would like to.
All right.
I wanted to say something.
What?
The state of California, in my research, I found out, has what they call a Public Members Act, passed in 1976. Perhaps you know. Anyway, it's an act that says the majority of all boards and commissions, the majority must be public.
Majority?
Majority.
That's just for the health care boards or the others.
Okay, well, I have to read.
That would be interesting to know.
Anyway,
the state of California also does not send renewal notices.
Neither does Illinois.
They have to pay. Yeah. That was what was
cost to reduce a lot of costs. But my point was, in the audit report, it states that in California it's become much more efficient in those boards that have majority public members.
Well, if the government controls me and taxes me as they do, then they have also a responsibility of wet nursing me a little bit more.
No. I can see both sides to it.
And I'll pay the difference because I'm a busy man and I go a lot of different ways. And I need all her money, and if it wasn't for Janet, I wouldn't even know what meeting I went to next.
And the government gets money from the licensing, too.
Sure, so all they do is just raise the fee a little more to take care of it.
Right, that's what
and to
saying.
Me, it's worth the convenience.
Well,
let's put it in there. I might get shot down on the floor, but you have to make decisions.
Plus, do what now? But what is
that'll, let's see, that'll probably give Elaine three more people. Building up the bureaucracy.
What are we putting in,
Jay? My God, as
strong,
hard as we try to tear it down.
License to be notified?
Yes.
They shouldn't be or should?
Should.
Well, I could say,
they are
could say that, if
well, then we'll keep
that
them.
Investigative trainees maybe would be a really good thing for us.
Investigative training?
Yes.
You know, like inspectors.
That middle level between high-level clerk and full-fledged criminal investigator. If we had somebody in between there, the investigator trainee, that could do a lot of the legwork, a lot of the report writing, a lot of the organizing that
Lane,
goes on.
Here's what here's our dilemma. You know, the governor has a governor's office four times bigger than any previous governor. But he tries to cut everybody else down. So he's told the Commission of Commerce, don't add any people. And we know we need some more inspectors. Investigate.
And you know, our position last year was. You know,
but you aren't authorized to say that, right?
You were there. Mr. Wagman said, you know, we just don't. Yeah. We can do it with what we've got.
What we discussed?
Yeah, because I wrote down like H and I and J and tried
to.
This list wouldn't mean anything to you.
Have you got it all down there, Chris?
Our codes and numbers and things wouldn't mean anything. But what I can do, as soon as this, give you a few days, and as soon as it's in the form, I will send you
But did you want it for a paper?
No,
just personal.
It's Mrs. McCarthy's in the driveway.
Oh, what's her name?
Hill.
Oh, sure.
He's out of town.
Uh-huh.
I told him this was coming up, and he says, well, will you sit in with me? Well, it wasn't listed. It was a workshop.
They have a meeting on
journal. It's a workshop. But they didn't put it in the workshop.